Dear ones, for our meditation this morning, I desire with the Lord's help to read from St. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 18. Matthew, chapter 18.
Наша Евангелие по Матею, 18 глава.
With the Lord's help, I desire to read the entire chapter. At the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus called a little child unto him, and set him in the midst of them, and said, Verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoso shall receive one such little child in my name receiveth me. But whoso shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck, and that he were drowned in the depth of the sea. Woe unto the world because of offenses, for it must needs be that offenses come. But woe to that man by whom the offense cometh. Wherefore, if thy hand or thy foot offend thee, cut them off and cast them from thee. It is better for thee to enter into life halt or maimed, rather than having two hands or two feet to be cast into everlasting fire. And if thine eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee. It is better for thee to enter into life with one eye rather than having two eyes to be cast into hell fire. Take heed that ye despise not one of these little ones, for I say unto you that in heaven their angels do always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven. For the Son of Man is come to save that which was lost. How think ye, if a man have 100 sheep, and one of them be gone astray, doth he not leave the 99 and goeth into the mountains and seeketh that which is gone astray? And if so be that he find it, verily I say unto you, he rejoiceth more of that sheep than of the 99 which went not astray. Even so, it is not the will of your Father which is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish. Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. But if he will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. And if he shall neglect to hear them, tell it unto the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as an heathen man and a publican. Verily I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever ye shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Again I say unto you, that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me, and I forgive him? Till seven times? Jesus saith unto him, I say not unto thee, until seven times, but until 70 times 7. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king, which would take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. But forasmuch as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and children, and all that he had, and payment to be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion and loosed him, and forgave him the debt. But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, "Pay me that thou owest." And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, "Have patience with me, and I will pay thee all." And he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry and came and told unto their lord all that was done. Then his lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, "O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desirest me. Shouldst not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee?" And his lord was wroth, and delivered him to the tormentors, till he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses.
Our gracious God, our Father, who art in heaven, before thee do we kneel in this morning as we have assembled together on thy day, a day of rest, a day in which we assemble together as we have now, where far more than two or three have gathered in the promise of thy presence. Stand sure that thou art here with us as we have assembled in thy name. And so, Lord, as we look into thy word in this morning, as we look to worship thee, as we look to come together to bind our hearts together in love and open thy word together and meditate upon it, that the truths that are written in these words that we have read would spring forth in our hearts and bring forth fruit that is pleasing unto thee. O Lord, we know that there are many who are here. Each one of us are in various stages of our lives. Each one of us has a need, and that need and that need can only be met in thee. We know, O Lord, that in that word is all power, for thou art power. And so, Lord, as we meditate upon thy word, we pray, O Lord, that our needs would be met through thy word, not through our own deciphering, but, Lord Jesus, through the word that can make us whole, the word that can bring joy in our hearts, the word that can cause us to have peace. So we pray, Heavenly Father, that we would submit unto this might, this power that is hidden in thee, that we would submit unto thee, O Lord, and in doing so, we are rejecting the devil, and through thy power, O Lord, we become victors in serving thee. We pray, Heavenly Father, that thou would bless each soul who is able to come here. We rejoice, O Lord, when we see our children and our friends as they come together. The Sunday schools are filled, O Lord, and what a joy it is. But we pray, Heavenly Father, that thy word would always prevail. That, Heavenly Father, that thy word would go forth wherever it is spoken, in its power and its truth and its simplicity. That we would never add to it or take away from it. O Lord, that we would let thy word be our guide. For then and then only can we call lost men unto thee. It is not our call. It is not our means. O Lord, it is nothing that we need to modify or change because of the times that we are living in. O Lord, thy word is eternal. It changes not. And so, Lord, may we lean upon thy word and thy word only for direction and to bring lost souls unto thee. We pray, Heavenly Father, that thy word would touch hearts of those who do not know thee yet. Our dear ones, O Lord, who assemble together, who have heard of thy love, who have heard of thy cross. And, O Lord, we know that man, the flesh, rejects the cross, does not want any part of it, O Lord. But it is on the cross, O Lord, that thou dost defeat and bring Satan to an open shame. It is in thy service, O Lord, in thy death, that we see thy might and thy power being brought out. And we pray, Heavenly Father, that we would all come to the cross where thou didst die, O Lord, that our natural man would also die with thee, Lord Jesus, and be risen with thee and live with thee, walking in the spirit and in the might that thou, Lord Jesus, has displayed and shown openly to those who will see. We pray, Heavenly Father, that thou would bless us one and all. Pray that that the brother, as he would speak from thy word, would go forth in the power, O Lord, of thy spirit, that each one of us, O Lord, would be blessed having come together in this thy house. Bless our coming together, our fellowship. Bless this day, O Lord, upon each one of our hearts. We ask it in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.
Dear brothers and sisters and friends who have gathered in the house of the Lord, this morning the Lord has laid it upon my heart that I would read from this 18th chapter of St. Matthew's Gospel. And dear ones, I believe that the teachings of Jesus Christ in this chapter are familiar to all of us. And as we have read in this opening verse of this chapter, we read that the disciples came to Jesus, and there was a question that they asked him. And the question that they came to him with was, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And dear ones, if we wish to put this into context, to perhaps just drop back to the previous chapter, some of the later verses, in verse 22 of Matthew 17, Jesus tells his disciples, "The Son of Man shall be betrayed into the hands of men, and they shall kill him, and the third day he shall be raised again." And they were exceeding sorry. Dear ones, the Son of God had revealed to his disciples shortly before this incident that he was to be betrayed, that he would be put to death. And what we see in this first verse of chapter 18, they're asking him, who will be the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? We didn't see the disciples asking for strength for this difficult time that would come, or for perhaps grace to suffer with him. But dear ones, they were asking him, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? We see also the same sentiment expressed in Matthew chapter 20, in the 20th verse, when we see that the mother of Zebedee's children, which we know to be James and John, she with her sons came and worshiped Jesus, and she desired a certain thing of him. And he said unto her, "What wilt thou?" She said unto him, "Grant that these my two sons may sit, the one on thy right hand and the other on thy left, in thy kingdom." Dear ones, perhaps it is a characteristic of man that they desire to be great. And we see this request that they came to the Lord with, the disciples, and even the mother. And we see how Jesus responded to them when he called a little child and set him in the midst of them. As an example, Jesus Christ took this little child, put this child in their midst, and said, "Verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven." Dear ones, we see from Christ's teaching, he taught that unless they were converted, and we see how important it is that one repents, that one is converted, that one leaves a life of sin behind, And the Lord tells us that in addition to that, we need to become as little children. Because if we do not, we shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. And what is it, dear ones, that we know about little children? We know that little children, dear ones, have an innocence, a purity about them. We know that they trust their parents. They look up to them. And we, as children of God, we need to place our trust upon our Heavenly Father. We need to place our trust upon Him for His provision for our daily needs, for His guidance within our lives, for His protection, for all that we need. Dear ones, we also know about little children. If we think of small children, they are not ambitious as perhaps these disciples seem to be, seeking to be the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. They are not jealous. They are not ambitious. We know that another characteristic of little children is gentleness and teachableness. They are able to be taught by the parents. And we, dear ones, as children of God, whether we be few years in the faith or many, we need to have that characteristic that the Lord is able to teach us, that He is able to teach us His truths, that we would be able to follow His will within our lives. And dear ones, there are many ways that the Lord would teach us, His children. And perhaps sometimes as we go through certain trials, through certain tests within our lives, it may seem difficult. And yet the Lord is teaching us because He loves us. Dear ones, we know that little children are also obedient to their parents. They have humility. And another characteristic that is very important in little children is that of forgiveness. We know that siblings often might disagree, might often argue, but they quickly get over that. They quickly forgive. They quickly forget, and they go on. Dear ones, these characteristics of little children we need to have as children of God. And Jesus tells His disciples that whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. It is not the characteristic of desiring to be great, or the first, or at the top, but the characteristic of humility that will make us greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoso shall receive one such little child in my name receiveth me. But whoso shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and that he were drowned in the depth of the sea. Dear ones, we see how important it is that we would be careful not to offend. Christ teaches us how dangerous it is if we are to offend one of these little ones. And who do we suppose that He is referring to when He says one of these little ones? Could it be someone who is perhaps seeking the Lord, seeking the Lord's will within their life, seeking to turn to Him, or perhaps a believer who is new in faith? Dear ones, do we strive to encourage such a one, to build up, to help them in their spiritual growth? It is important, dear ones, that we would be careful not to offend. Woe unto the world because of offenses, for it must needs be that offenses come. But woe to that man by whom the offense cometh. Jesus teaches us that it is inevitable that offenses would come. We know that Christ taught us that we will have trials and tribulations. We will have hardships in this life. And dear ones, it is inevitable that offenses will also come. But woe unto that person through whom the offense cometh. Christ also teaches us a very important lesson in verses 8 and 9, where he tells us that if our hand or our foot offend us, that we should cut them off and cast them from us. Christ's teaching is that it is better for us to enter into life halt or maimed rather than having two hands or two feet to be cast into everlasting fire. And he teaches us the same thing about the eye. If our eye offend us, we should pluck it out and cast it from us. It is better for us to enter into life with one eye rather than having two to be cast into hellfire. And dear ones, we know this teaching of Christ. He is referring to those things that might cause us to stumble in our spiritual walk. Those things, dear ones, perhaps where we would go or what we might see, we need to cast those things away from us. We know that in this time in which we live, there are so many things that seek to take our attention in this life. There's so much technology, dear ones, that many would say there is good in it. We know, dear ones, that we find a lot of good in having two hands, in having two eyes, in having two feet. And yet, if it were to cause us to stumble, dear ones, we know those things in this life that we have, if they are a spiritual stumbling block for us, it is better for us to overlook that which we might point to as being for the good and cast it from us. For the Son of Man is come to save that which was lost. We know, dear ones, that this was the mission of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, that he is come to save that which was lost. And dear ones, let us go back to that time that we read of in St. Luke's Gospel when Jesus was but 12 years old. And he and his parents went to Jerusalem. And when they had to return home, and they had gone, I believe, a couple days' journey, they realized that the boy Jesus was not with them. And they returned to Jerusalem, they returned to the temple, and there they found him speaking with the scribes and the Pharisees. And when they asked him why he had stayed behind, he told them that he had to be about his father's business. We know that that was the reason for which he was sent upon this earth, that he would be about his father's business, that he would come to seek and to save that which was lost. And as we read about the 100 sheep, the 99 that have not gone astray, and the one that had gone astray, We see how the Son of God seeks to save those that are lost. How think ye, if a man have 100 sheep, and one of them be gone astray, doth he not leave the 99, and goeth into the mountains, and seeketh that which is gone astray? We see the love of the Son of God for mankind. And dear ones, those of us who are within the fold of Jesus Christ, perhaps there are many times that we hear a message about repentance from this pulpit. And perhaps there's a time where we might have a stray thought that, oh, this is another message about repentance. And yet we have to remember these words of Jesus Christ that if one needs to be found, Jesus Christ, that good shepherd, he leaves the 99 and he goes searching for that one. And dear ones, we know that in our midst, there's more than one that needs the Lord's salvation. There's more than one that needs to be found and needs to be saved. And that is the mission of the Son of God. We know that after Jesus Christ was baptized by John the Baptist in the River Jordan, he went into the wilderness where he was tempted for 40 days and for 40 nights. And the word tells us that after that period of time, he went and he taught repentance. He told the people, "Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." We know how Jesus also taught us that we should seek that narrow gate, that straight gate and that narrow way. He taught how we should bring our burden and lay them down at his feet and take his yoke upon us. He taught us, dear ones, how we should ask, how we should seek, how we should knock, and that the Lord will respond. He will answer our prayers. And dear friend, outside the fold of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, his love for you today, his will for you today is that you would come to him in true repentance, that you would be converted, that you would be added to those 99 sheep within the sheepfold. The word tells us that when the shepherd finds that one sheep, he rejoiceth more of that sheep than of the 99 which went not astray. Even so, it is not the will of your Father which is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish. Dear friend, outside the fold of Jesus Christ, it is not God's will that any should perish. We know that it is sin that separates man from God, that it is sin that each and every one of us who were born upon this earth have inherited. We have inherited the sinful nature. We have offended our Creator. And we know that the price, the wages of sin is death. And yet, dear ones, it is not the will of God that anyone should perish, but that all would turn to him and find salvation. Dear ones, in this chapter we also read of this teaching of Christ that we are familiar with. If a brother trespass against us, the steps that we need to take in order to make things right between brother and brother, between sister and sister, between brother and sister. If one were to offend, that we need to go and tell that brother or that sister alone. The Lord tells us that we are to tell him his fault between us and them alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. We know the importance of approaching our brother or our sister in love. We cannot gain our brother or our sister if we go in anger, if we go in a harsh manner. We must go in love so that we can gain that brother or that sister. Dear ones, we see how beautiful this teaching of Jesus is. For we know that it is human nature, if one is hurt by another, that perhaps they would talk to their friend, another friend, and say, "Can you imagine what this brother did to me? What the sister did to me?" Dear ones, that is not the right way. That just makes the problem greater. Jesus taught us that we are to go as brothers, as sisters within the family of Christ to correct those things, those offenses. And dear brothers and sisters, we know the steps that we are to follow, that Jesus teaches us of here, that first we go alone, and if the brother does not hear us, we go with one or two witnesses. And if they do not hear us then either, then we would take it before the church. And could we imagine, dear ones, someone to be so stubborn that they would not even listen to the church? Christ tells us that they should be unto us as a heathen and a publican. We see, dear ones, as Jesus is speaking about offenses, of trespasses, how to resolve conflict, that the Apostle Peter asked him, "Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times?" We see, dear ones, this question of Peter, a disciple of Christ. And we see Christ's response, "I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven." Can you imagine, dear brother and sister, that if we were to forgive our brother or our sister only seven times, we know that we would keep score. We would keep track. If we are to forgive our brother or our sister 490 times, we know that that is not a number that we can track, or should we? But we should find it within our heart to be forgiving as Jesus Christ was forgiving towards us. As Jesus taught us in this next parable of the servant that was forgiven so much. And we know that in this parable, Christ is referring to each and every one of us, dear ones, who were forgiven our sins by the washing of the blood of Jesus Christ. "Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king which would take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. Dear ones, there was a servant that owed the king a very large amount. An amount that it would have been very difficult, if not impossible, for him to repay. And dear brother and sister, as we consider our lives before we came to the Lord, we know that we were in the same predicament, where we were separated from our Creator by sin. The debt was so great that there's no way that we could have paid it. And yet, the Son of God paid that debt for us on the cross. When his hands and his feet were nailed to that cross, when his blood was shed, and we were forgiven, we were born again, we were given that clean and that fresh start. And in this parable, we see that same servant that was forgiven much by the king came to his fellow servant who owed him just a very small amount. And that servant came and laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, "Pay me that thou owest." And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, "Have patience with me, and I will pay thee all." Dear ones, we all, as we read these words of Christ, we see the injustice of that servant who had been given so very much. And yet, for a very small, slight amount, compared to what he had owed, he was harsh. He was unforgiving. He demanded payment. And when his fellow servant asked for patience, when he pleaded for him with him, we see that the servant did not have patience, did not forgive him, but cast him into prison. And we know from this parable, dear ones, that the word got back to the king how this servant had been treated by the one that had been forgiven so much. And we see, dear ones, that his Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. And Christ teaches us that we will face the same end, dear ones, if we from our hearts do not forgive everyone our brother's trespasses. From our hearts. You know, there's one thing to be said for saying that you're sorry, to ask for forgiveness. But Christ points out that it has to come from our hearts. It has to be sincere. It has to be heartfelt. It cannot be Dear ones, it cannot be a forgiveness that lingers in our mind every time we see that brother or that sister. It cannot be something that is not voiced but still is in our hearts. And perhaps we cannot love that brother or that sister as we should. No, dear ones, from our hearts, we need to forgive. We need to forget if we wish to have the Lord forgive us our sins. Dear ones, in this chapter that we have meditated upon this morning, Christ has taught us much as to how we must walk upon our pilgrim path to be pleasing before him, to be godly followers of him. My prayer is, dear ones, that we would strive to be forgiving, that we would strive to be as little children, that we would have that humility, that, dear ones, we would strive to settle disagreements the way that Christ taught us, so that it may be well with our soul. May the Lord add a blessing to his word. Amen. Dear ones, our Lord Jesus Christ taught us much about forgiveness, how important it is that we would forgive one another. And we know that the most powerful teaching, dear ones, is not just to hear the words, but when we see them portrayed in someone's life. And when we look at Jesus Christ, when he was crucified, his hands were nailed to the cross, his feet were also. He was placed between two thieves. And yet, what did he say in his dying moments? He said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." That true forgiveness, dear ones, that we are taught by the Son of God. Let us have that same forgiveness within our hearts, that we would not hold a grudge one against another, but that we would strive as Christians, dear ones, we are to be Christ-like. That we would be as the one who has saved us from an eternity in hell, who has forgiven us much, and who has given us that hope of life eternal in his kingdom. May the Lord bless his word today. Amen.